talking about where a Jew makes a decision of his own volition, you know, to go ahead and convert, that that's crossing a line where he has taken himself out of the kavod completely, where you're not allowed to go to be mekarfin. And this is part of the job of tzaddikim, to know how to test people. It's brought about Avram Avinu, for example. Avram Avinu was Megayer Gerim. Now, we know that the Jews do not hold from proselytizing. We don't go out to convert people. So how did Avram Avinu did it? We see that Avram Avinu was a maven. He was able to know he had the tree. He had his magic tree and his magic stream of water, the Zohar Kodesh says, where any time a guest would come to his house, he would seat him under the tree. If the branches of the tree shot upwards, you know, removing shade from that person, Avram Avinu knew that this guy was a loser and not to be mekarvim. If the tree spread its shade out for that person, that was an indication, go get him. Work on him, talk to him, be mekarvim, you can bring him into the Kedusha. He's from Klipas Noiga. He's the ones that you can be mekarv. And so too, the Zohar Kodesh says he had water where he would take the person over to the stream. If the person was worthy of becoming mekarv, the water would jump up towards the person. And that would be an indication that this is a good person. And if not, it wouldn't. So we see that there are special simonim that tzaddikim have, which give them an idea who to be mekarv. What about we who are not tzaddikim? What do? The answer is we have to pray. We have to pray very hard. If a person's trying to be mekarv a friend, or whoever it is, somebody that fell away from religion, or somebody that grew up in a house that was irreligious, you have to pray very, very hard that Hashem should guide you to know whether this person is a person who you should be mekarv or not. And if yes, exactly how to go about doing it, where it shouldn't harm you in any way, but rather it should only do good. It should only bring kavod to Hashem.
Wasn't the water jumping up and taking away their
freedom? No. They wouldn't notice it. Could be Avraham Avinu would know. It doesn't mean it jumped up 8 feet into the air.
So
could be it happened in a certain way where it was an indication to Avraham Avinu, this guy's okay. He's kosher.
Also
true.
Avraham's his daughter is, you know, magic tricks for me.
Yes. It means that for 99.999% of cases, for which the vast majority of the world would definitely say this guy's a lost cause, the tzaddik emes can bring him back. The tzaddik emes can find the nekudas toivos in him. The tzaddik emes sees the little bit of kavod that still is in that person. He's able to uncover it, even though it's covered up with tons and tons of mud, and be able to bring him back. But it means there's erev rav, which the tzaddik emes, Moshe Rabbeinu, was not allowed to be makar, because he did, it caused horrible destruction. That's what it means.
Can we get a brief explanation about this concept where trying to makar somebody and you yourself go down while he goes up?
The answer is because a person who is far from Kiddush, a person who's not religious, or chas v'shalom anti-religious, either one of those two, that person has all kinds of bad things inside of them. Bad characteristics, bad quality, bad midos, cast, dirt, a foul mouth, they curse when they talk, and this, that. And a person who gets involved with in order to be a kind of somebody, you got to get friendly with him, you got to eat with him, you got to sleep with it, you got to rub shoulders. And unless you're very solid yourself, and unless you know what you're doing, it's very easy that instead of your good rubbing off on him, his bad will rub off on you, chas v'shalom.
Another explanation is just because a person converts wrongly. So they might be that 0.1% that you're not supposed to try makarv, but it doesn't mean they're beyond hope. They can still come back and make the first steps on their own to come back, and then they'll cross certain points where you can reach.
He just said a very important point, that sometimes there's a distinction between whether you're allowed to be mekarvim or this guy has put himself in a category where it's his move. The perfect example, Acher. Acher, the rabbi of Rabbi Meir, who became an apikoros, where there was an announcement in heaven that said, Shuvu bonim shoivovim chutz mi Acher. Everybody can do tshuva except Acher. What did that mean? Tosfos explains it means that everybody else will receive help from Hashem. Everybody else can be helped except him. He's got to do it himself. Can he be helped? Yes, but it's his move. Nobody's allowed to help him up. And lahavdil, again, you have it even with your own children. There are certain times that a kid falls, that it's a mitzvah, and it's normal to run over and pick the kid up. And there are certain times that a kid falls or throws themselves down, where if you pick up that kid, you're gonna cripple the kid. If you don't force the kid to pick himself up, he'll be chas shalom a cripple for life. Because the nature of that fall is that he's got to pick himself. You understand? He's got to do it for himself. It's ozak tazer imoy. By him, the imoy, it's his move now. You have this famous interpretation that Rabbein Zal gave, or Rav Nosson Zal, about what we say in Hallel, Even mo'asu aboinim hoysel roish pino. That the tzaddikim are called boinim. Right? V'chol bonayich limudei Hashem al tikri bonayich ele bonayich. The tzaddikim are called builders. A kablan, when he builds, uses stones to build with. So again, he needs a stone to work with. A stone, there are lopsided stones, and there are smooth stones and straight stones. So most stones, even if there's something crooked about them, they just chisel it out a little, and then they're able to use it somewhere in the building. But sometimes a builder comes across a stone that's lopsided in so many different ways that he just discards it because he says, it'll take me so much time and effort to straighten it out, it's just not worth it. It'll take away from the construction of the whole building, that kind of thing. So Rabbein Zal says that the Jewish souls are compared to stones. There's a pasuk Tishtapechno Avnei Kodesh Barosh Kol Chutzos, that the holy Jewish souls were splattered in the streets of Yerushalayim when the Romans came in and killed out. So each Jewish nefesh is compared to a stone that's part of the building of a Mishkan that the tzaddikim built for Hashem. So there are some Jewish nefoshos which all the other builders, all the other tzaddikim look at it and they say, this one can't work with it. Nothing you can do to straighten this guy out would take so much effort, it's not worth it. And it's not worth, it'll mess, you know, it'll take away so much time from the construction of the whole building. And it's those stones which the other builders have rejected, those nefoshes which the other tzaddikim have rejected as lost, you know, give up hope on, which hoysel roish pino, when the tzaddik emes gets hold of them, he elevates them, he smooths them out and fixes them up, where they become cornerstones in the building. They become the best, the highest neshamos in a sense. But again, there is an exception to the rule. There is an Erev Rav, there are other examples in history. There's a story with Rabbein Zal, that a group of Rabbein Zal's Talmidim were once traveling to him. They wanted to come to see him, and it was at night, and there was Hafsakat Chashmal, there was no this was before Chashmal came into creation, came into being, and they were riding around all night, lost somehow. They didn't get to him until a day later, and Rabbein Zal commented to them the reason why that, and there was a thing where they were supposed to get to him in an hour or so. He commented to them that the reason why it happened was because there was one person with them that didn't really want to go. He didn't really want to come. And because his ratzon wasn't solid, because of that he messed up every, you know, he prevented all of them from getting to Rabbein Zal. You understand? Rabbein Zal said to them that if they would have thrown him off, if they would have gotten rid of this guy, they would have gotten to him no problem. You understand? Here's a case where this person, he messed it up for everybody else. There is such a concept. That's number one. Or could be now's not the time. And if you try to be misakin somebody who's in a state where right now is not the time for him to get his ticket, you're going to make more problems. You're going to make things worse.
Sometimes a person has to hit rock bottom before they can come up.
Also true.
Is it possible a person would try to reach that tikkun before his time? Same kind of thing.
Well, that's what happened with Mitzrayim. They got their tikkun before it was supposed to be.
And that's why it caused so many problems. The Arizal says all the problems that took place during the time they were in the desert was because they left Egypt early. Even though it was Hashem who took them out early, and on one hand, if they would have stayed there one more second, it would have meant the end. Still, the fact that they were supposed to serve a certain amount of time in Egypt, and they left early, premature, a baby that's born prematurely, Rahman al-Islam, we know in many cases, goes through, you know, the whole beginning is much, much more difficult because of the fact that it came out premature. Zero.
They were supposed to be in Mitzrayim for...
The chapter on the Ikut Imran where Rabbeinu Zal says he heard a story with the Mezritch and Magid Zal that there was a certain person that lived during his time who was a misnaged against the Magid. He was a wealthy person and a smart person, and he was against the Mezritch and Magid and against his Talmidim. And the Mezritch and Magid's Talmidim told him about it, and he said, you know, they described the person to him, they told him about him, and the Mezritch and Magid said, listen to me carefully, your mission is to bring him here. And do everything you have to do to succeed. Meaning talk, pray to Hashem that Hashem should help you, be matzliach and bring him here. And it says that they did it. This Talmidim took their rabbi very serious. So he said to do it, they must have davened to Hashem and done whatever was needed, and they brought him to the Magid, and the Magid spoke to him and everything, he was makarvim, and he made him into one of his close students. So here's an example I'm showing you, where you look at this guy, what do you mean? He's a misna, he's throwing rocks, he's breaking the windows. Him I should be makar for it. And the Rebbe said, go get him. He's a candidate. But that's something that tzaddikim have the perceptiveness and the experience and the everything to be able to look at a guy and say he's good. Even though to us it could look terrible, you know, no chance in the world. And at the same time, there are times that a tzaddik will tell somebody, stay away from that person. And the person will say, no, I have him around. I spoke to him and I see I can bring him around. And the person doesn't listen to that tzaddik, and the person gets destroyed in the process. The person who was mekar of me to Breslov, I'm not going to mention any names, when I was 16, 17 years old, there was a person who was the one who lived in my neighborhood. He met me, introduced me to the shiurim, this, that, came and everything. And at the time, he was buddy-buddy with a certain Talmud Chacham, a person who was a Talmud Chacham and everything, but also a Letz, a person who used to like to make jokes a lot and make fun of items of Kiddusha a little bit. And at one time, Rabbi Rosenfeld warned this Talmud, stay away from him. And he didn't explain, he didn't go into any big speeches or anything, but he told this Talmud, keep your distance from that person. And he didn't listen. This Talmud didn't listen. And about a year later, he disappeared. He disappeared from Breslov. He disappeared from Frumkeit. He became a Chal Shabbos and everything. This person was responsible for me and maybe 10 other people coming into Breslov. Ended up falling. Why? Because he didn't know to keep a distance from a certain thing that could do harm to him. A person who was Shomer Shabbos, Talmud Chacham to a degree. Talmud Chacham in certain areas, and an Amoritz in certain other areas. And it caused catastrophe.
Why do you think people don't listen to the Rav? They go to a Rav, get the Derek.
Because there's an angel. The Rav is saying do X, and there's an angel who's hearing what the Rav says and is plotting and gives the person 4,000 excuses not to listen. And most of the excuses are mitzvah. This angel is just as learned as the Rav is. So the Rav says, do this and this, because, and the angel says, do the opposite because of these and these mitzvahs. He gives the person all kinds of treif mitzvahs to do that end up burying the person.
Before we disappear, just the position of the Rav,
okay. We're continuing in Likutei Halachos. We're up to Hilchos Prikutina, Halacha Beis. Rav Nosson Zal again quotes this pasuk: Ki sire chamoyer soinacha roive tzachas matzoi. If you see the mule or the donkey of your enemy crumbling under its heavy load, it's breaking under its heavy load, v'chodalta, and it'll occur to you not to help you this enemy of yours. And the Torah says, "Ozoiv tazoiv imoy." Make sure you do what you have to. Make sure you do what you can to help that person unload or load the animal. Now Rav Nosson Zal says, Ki iso b'maymar v'ayhim miketz ki marachme minagim. Rabbeinu Zal writes in a chapter on Likutei Moharan, this is one of the longer chapters on Likutei Moharan, one of the shiurim that Rabbeinu Zal gave on Rosh Hashanah, which begins quoting a pasuk, Ki marachamom yinahagim, that those that have true pity on the Jews, those are the ones that are worthy of leading them. She'ikar horachmonus hu kishe'echot mi'Yisrael noifel b'avoyno ischas v'shon. Rabbeinu Zal over there emphasizes that the main pity on a Jew is when a Jew falls into sins. That's the main pity. It's not when a Jew catches a cold or a Jew doesn't have parnos. So those things are very important, and it's something to pity a person for to a degree. But the ikar horachmonus is when a person has a problem that's an eternal problem, chas shalom. A person acquires sins which will stay with them permanently. The physical problems that a person has, at worst, it's 70 years or 120 years in gemarnu. But a sin, chas v'shom, could be with a person permanently, chas v'shom. So that's the ikar achmonus. Ki zehu maso koved. Rabbeinu Zalveh uses this terminology, that the sins that a person does represent a heavy load, a heavy burden. She'yefsher le'ish Yisraeli liso klal maso koved kazu, where it's impossible for a Jew to be walking around carrying that load. And this is why the Gemara says that Hashem gave the Jews in the Beis HaMikdosh the Korban Tomid Shel Boiker and the Tomid Shel Ben Arbayim. Because Hashem said that the Jews can't handle carrying sins around for 12 hours at a shot. So therefore Hashem gave us the Korban Tomid in the morning, the afternoon. The Tomid in the morning cleans up for the night, the entire night. And the Tomid in the afternoon cleans up for the entire day. So that a Jew never goes 12 hours without having kapora savoinois, without getting laundered, in a sense. Ayin Shom, look in that chapter in Likutei Moharan, where Rabbeinu Zal discusses this. V'tzorich l'rachim al Yisrael lohitzio me'avoinois, and people have to take pity on a Jew, on Jews, to get them out of sins. U'lahachnis bohem das, and to shine into them the tzechel that they need, to give them the ability to avoid sins. Because the Gemara says, that when a person does sins, it implies lack of das. So by shining das into a person, by teaching people das, you'll give them the ability to do less sins. Rabbeinu Zal says over there that a person has to see to it to shine their das both into their children and to their students. Rabbeinu Zal there quotes a pasuk in Tehillim where the pasuk says, "Asher ein chalifus lamoi velo yore elikim," that a person didn't leave a replacement for himself in this world. And the Gemara says in Baba Basra that there's a debate between two rabbis. One rabbi says this means a child, and the other rabbi says it means a student. Because each and every single person is supposed to have students or children whom they teach Torah to, whom they give das to. And if a person does that, even when they leave the world, at least their das remains behind. So that they end up living in both worlds in a sense. In the next world and in this world. V'alidei Klolius ben v'talmid mishom nimshach haparnoso shemekabeles hamalchus miyam hachochma. Rabbeinu Zal in that chapter in the Likutei Moharan goes into a whole discussion about how the son and student, the child and the student, are not two different entities, because every student is really a child. The Gemara says, Kol ha-malamed ben chavero Torah ki'ilu asoi, that if you teach someone else's child Torah, it's as if you gave birth to that child, it's as if you created him. So a student is a child. And a child is also a student, because the main, most important relationship between parents and children is the knowledge that's given over, the das of Torah that's given over. Ayin Shom Kol Zehetev. Look at all of this in Likutei Moharan in that chapter well, so that you'll have a good introduction to this halacha.
Ayin Shom Kol Zehetev.
You had said that back in the time temple we had the carbon so time first. What do we have today?
Shachris and Mincha. Those two tefillos are in place of the korban tomid shel shachar and shel ben arboim. We say that's one of the reasons why we say tachnun in both. Or vidui, or shamnu bogadnu, we say it in the morning and the afternoon. That represents cleansing ourselves twice a day. Vizeh merumos b'mitzvah hanal. This concept is included in this mitzvah. Ki soine pirshu razal shezehu mi shero isoi sheovra veira. Because the Gemara says that when it says in the Chumash that you'll see your enemy's animal struggling with a burden, what does it mean he's your enemy? In what is he your enemy? It's talking about a person who did a sin. Not because you don't like his nose, but because you don't like what he does. V'zehu b'chinas roivetz tachas masoi. This is what it means when it says struggling with his burden. The heaviness of the burden is strengthening itself against the person. This refers most to the burden of sin. And for this reason, the person or his animal is crumbling under this heavy load. Because it's impossible for a Jew to carry this kind of burden. Why does it say that you'll see the mule of your enemy? Rav Nosson Zal says the word chamoyer is miloshin choymer, referring to the gashmius of the person. So in other words, symbolically, it doesn't mean his mule, it means his body, his chumrius, the mule of the person himself. Kikishim is gaber, chas v'sholom hamasui shalovoin, azai enoi nikra b'shem odom. Because when a person acquires many sins, and the burden of his sins becomes very heavy, that person isn't called a person anymore. He's not in the category of Adam anymore. Ki ikar ha'odom hu hadas. Because when we use the term human being, we're referring to somebody with sechel. Rak hu bechinas chaya b'demus odom. When a person does a lot of averos, he becomes an animal that looks human. He looks like a human being, but he's not a human being. Ayin Shom, look in Likutei Moran over there where Rabbeinu Zal uses this terminology. V'hizhira ha-toyro al kol echod she'yires chaveiro she'zgabro lov chas v'sholom ha-masui shalavoyim. And the Torah here warns every single Jew who will see his friend whose sins have started to overtake him, ki rak ze nikra masui, because only that's called a heavy load. Because when we talk about a person's carrying a heavy load, again, here people in their comments say, oh, this guy's carrying a heavy load, he's got seven children, blah, blah, blah. That's heavy load, that's baloney. That's the way it looks to us. Notice, it looks to us like that's a heavy load. We don't know the pain and suffering and struggling of that the neshama feels. You could be seeing of a neshama that a person that has committed many sins. There's an incident with Rav Nosson Zal that one time one of his students came into him and he was bemoaning the fact that one of his friends is super poor and they hardly have any food in the house to eat and his wife is ill and, you know, terrible, terrible predicament. And he was saying, you know, it's such a pity on this person. So as soon as he said these words, it's such a pity on this person, Rav Nosson Zal exploded like, and he said, on him it's a pity? On him whom the Gemara says that a person who has suffering from his wife won't get to see the Pnei Gehenim, and all the poverty that is going through is the biggest ticken for his neshama and everything. On him it's a pity? Don't, and him who gets up for chatzos, despite these conditions, he gets up for chatzos every single night and says the tikkun chatzos and does mitzvahs and everything. Him you're pitying? Don't pity him. You know who you should pity? And he mentioned a certain person who gets up 9:30 every morning, and if because he gets up that late, who knows what goes on with him during his sleep, number one.
and his whole day is fun and games, and then he eats himself a big breakfast and this and that, him you have to pity. Implying what? Implying that by us, many of us are walking around in this world standing on our heads. We look at people and we say, this guy's so lucky and this guy's so unlucky. This guy has it so easy and this guy has it so hard. And it's because we're cross-eyed. Because we don't see straight. Whereas a tzaddik looks at these two people and says, this one's the luckiest one in the world and this one's the unluckiest person. Because they see what's really going on. So Rav Nosson Zal says, Azai, so when you see such a person, Azai osur loy lahalim ayin, you're not allowed to ignore that person. You're not allowed to turn your eyes, you know, make believe you don't see. Rak mutul olov lerachem al chaveroi, but rather you're obligated to take pity on that person. Velazur loy, and to help him. Lekayim, to fulfill the wording in the posuk, ozoiv tazoiv imoy, help him with his load. Kize mutol al kol echot mi Yisrael. This responsibility is on each and every single Jew. L'rachem al chaveroi brachmonus hoamitius hagodol mikol minei rachmonius. To take pity on another Jew. Real pity. We're not talking about baloney pity where you give the guy $100 bill. That's children's pity. We're talking about real pity. To have pity on a Jew who's far from Hashem, far from the Torah, far from mitzvahs, and who's done thousands of sins, and he's really, his neshama is screaming from pain, to take pity on him and help. Dainu lazor loy lefarek miolov hamasui hakovoid shalovoim. To help the person to unload from himself the heavy, heavy burden of sin. Asher iev shaloi liso klal masui kovoid kazukanam. Where it's impossible for the person to be walking around carrying that heavy load. Kikol, we'll just quote a few lines from this chapter in Likutei Moran where Rabbeinu Zal talks about this. He says, Ki ikar horachmonus hu kishi Yisrael am kodosh noiflim chas v'shon bavoynes rachmonus lam. The main pity is when Hashem's holy people fall into sins, rachmonus l'tzlan. Ki zehu horachmonus hagodol mikol minei rachmonus. That rachmonus is greater than all other rachmonuses, which means it is a rachmonus on a person that doesn't have three cars, or that doesn't have a swimming pool, or that doesn't have this, or that doesn't have, you know, or that doesn't have bread to eat. It is a rachmonus. But the biggest rachmonus of all is chas v'shalom this rachmonus. Ki kol hayisurim hakoshim sheboilam, because all the worst types of suffering in the world, einon nechshovim klal, don't count at all, keneged hamasui hakovoid shel avoynos chas v'shalom, compared to the pain and suffering of the heavy burden that a neshama feels when it's loaded down with sins. Ki kishi Yisrael noiflim bavoynos chas v'shalom, zehu maso kovoid mo'oid she'yevsher liso klal hamasui hakovoid hazeh. Because when Jews acquire sins, that represents a super heavy burden which it's impossible for them to walk an unbearable burden. Bibichinas, as the Pasuk says in Tehillim, Kemasa Koveid Yichbedu Bimenu, like a heavy burden, it's too heavy for me to carry. Now look at the words that he says. Kimi Sheyoidea Kedushas Yisrael Meayin Heim Lekuchim. Because a person who understands the holiness of the Jewish people, where they come from, what kind of an unbelievable high place the Jewish neshama comes from. V'yodea ruchnius v'dakus shel Yisrael. And he knows and he appreciates the spirituality of Jews and their purity. Hu yodea, he knows and understands she Yisrael heim rechoikim legamri me'ovoim, that a Jew is the furthest thing imaginable from sin. They're two totally, totally opposites. Ve'ein ovoin shayach lohem klal loy. And sins have no association whatsoever with the Jewish people, you know, based on where the Yidden come from. V'alkein, kol ha'yisurim sheba'ilam, eino nechshovem lamasui, keneged amasui ha'kovet shel avonis rachmonu l'tzlan. Vafilu kishayesh lodom yisurim, even when a person is experiencing suffering, Im ein bohem avoinois, if there aren't sins with the suffering, einom nechshovim liyisurim klal. It's not considered suffering. This is Rabbi Nizal's words. If a person is going through poverty, ill health, his neighbor's making him nuts, his wife is making him nuts, his mother-in-law is making him nuts, all of those things, it's not called yisurim at all if there aren't sins involved. V'zeh b'chinas, as the Gemara says, ein yisurim b'lo yovoin. The Gemara makes a statement that there's no such thing as a person experiencing pain and suffering without sins, meaning that usually, the reason for suffering is sins. Rabbi Nizal makes a play on words and says, ein yisurim b'lo yovoin. It's not called yisurim, it's not called suffering without sins. Sins is suffering. The other stuff is baloney, the other stuff is a gift. One of the Mefarshim writes that if a Jew would know the benefit that they get when somebody insults them publicly, they would go to the mikveh first and they'd say special tefillahs, begging Hashem that they should receive it properly, this wonderful, wonderful gift, the fact that somebody insulted them. To most people, that's a catastrophe. A catastrophe hit me today. I was publicly embarrassed. And the person, no, it wasn't a catastrophe. You hit the lottery. That's hitting the lottery. Somebody insulted you in front of 100 people. You got a gift because, who knows, it might have made a tikkun for a whole Gilgal of the past. It might have made a tikkun for 10,000 sins that you committed and your children. And it could be a protection for your whole family, the fact that you went through that kind of experience. Usually, yeah. Correct. Whether it be in this Gilgul or in a previous Gilgul, in some instances. Back into the Likutei Halachos. Continuing in the Likutei Halachos. Ki kol echot mechuyov lehishtadel lehashgiach al chaveroi. Each and every Jew is obligated to strive to look at his friend, ledaber imoy b'ira shemayim, and to speak to his friend about Yiddishkeit, about fear of Hashem, lohoitzioi mehamasui hakovoi shelavoinois, and to help the person pull himself out of this heavy load, heavy burden of sins, shehu koveid mikol hamasois, which is heavier than any other burden, sheze ikur horachmonis kanal, that's the main rachmonis. V'zehu ozoiv tazoiv imoy. This is where the Torah says, ozoiv tazoiv imoy, make sure you help him out. So that these people, you have all kinds of people in the world who come up with all kinds of life missions for themselves. This one forms the ASPCA, this one's going to take care of all the cats in the world, and this one's going to take care of hospitals, this one's a multi-zillionaire, and he's going to support all the hospitals in the world. And they're all philanthropists. This guy's a philanthropist. He's a nice guy. He's a wonderful guy. He's helping sick people. What could be better than that? Who could you call a greater humanitarian than a person who gives to hospitals? And the answer is, Rabbi Nizal suddenly wakes us up to say, it's good. It's very good. It's a big accomplishment. But there's an ikar and a tofel. There's an ashama and a guf. And the goof, all of us know that there's cemeteries in this world. So all of us know that the maximum staying power of the body is 120 years. So these people who are trying to cure cancer and trying to cure the wonderful, sweet, excellent, to a certain point. Whereas those tzaddikim, those people who are studying Torah and trying to become tzaddikim, where they're in a position to help people's neshamos, there you're really being humanitarian. There you're helping people eternally. Not just for 70 years or 30 years or 20 years. You're helping people eternally. Now Rav Nosson Zal says, V'gam ha-mitzvah bi'atzmo mamish. Even the physical act of this mitzvah, dahinu priko utino mamish, the actual unloading of the mule or loading the mule, Lazar lechaveroi lefare kamasoi mamish mial chamoiroi hu gam kein bechina sanal. It's also related to what we're talking about here. Ki hamasoi shal habehema shehu memoino yuparnasosoi, because this burden that this donkey is carrying, or the guy's truck. Again, we're in the 1990s now. There's trucks and cars, and the guy's got this big, big couch in his trunk of his car, and he can't get it out. Shebo, this person's money or parnasa, hu nimshach miyam hachochma. It comes from the sea of chachma. Shebo al yedei klolius ben v'talmid. Dahainu al yedei heoras hadas beben v'talmid. Kefi ma shemoitzien o yisamimasi akovoy chelovoyin. Kemuva shom b'maymar hanal kishor inyan heitev ayin shom. Rav Nosson Zal now is making reference to what Rabbeinu Zal says over there in Likut Imran. Over there, Rabbeinu Zal explains that Parnosa comes from the Malchus, generally. He proves it from Psukim. Rabbeinu Zal brings a few Psukim. He brings a Pasuk in Daniel where it says that the Nebuchadnezzar saw a dream, and in the dream he saw a big tree. And this tree had all kinds of food on it. Ilona, the chozis, the rabba, the tokaf, umozo in lekoila bay. It has food for everybody on it. And he was told that that tree represents the king. That tree symbolizes Nebuchadnezzar, the king who's the one who's responsible for supporting the whole kingdom, you know, for providing for them. So we see that Parnosa generally comes from Malchus. That's why Rabbeinu Zal says over there, when a person gets married, they sign a ksuba, and the ksuba means that he's accepting responsibility to support his wife and kids. You know, that he's going to provide for her. That's why when a person gets married, the Torah says, "Vahu yimshel boch," that to a certain degree, the husband has a certain degree of authority over the wife. Why? Because if he's going to be mafarneser, he has to have a bechina of malchus. There has to be, because parnosa comes from malchus. And Rabbeinu Zal explains in this chapter in the Likut Imran that Malchus draws from Chochma. We say when a person, the Sfardim especially, have this custom when they say Poiseach es yodecho, maspil lechochai rotzoim, you lift your hands up to your head. When you're washing for bread, you do this. And the Poiseach es yodecho, the Zohar HaKadosh also says, is Poiseach es yudecho. The letter Yud, which represents Chochma, the 10th sphere from the bottom up, that Malchus draws its sustenance from Chochma. And Rabbeinu Zal goes on to explain over there that to the extent that a Jew is involved in teaching children and students, giving over that Chochma, to that extent he's plugged into this Malchus, which draws from the Yam HaChochma, it's called. It's called the Yodayim Shebiyam HaChochma. That's the terminology. Rabbeinu Zal over there, the Quran explains it much more.
And the last letters of that verse is also the Malachim Shadipadasim.
Exactly. V'alkein mi shezoichel lotzeis mi masoi hakovoit shelavoinois. Therefore, a person who zoichet to crawl out from under this heavy burden of sins, das, and the person is zoicha to das, shehu bechinas heoras ben v'talmid, which is symbolized by that which you give over, you transmit to children and students. Kemoi kein parnasosoi moifefes loy benokel. To that extent, to the extent that a person is zoicha to das, relative to that, the person's parnosa comes to them with ease. Kimishom ikar haparnosa kanal. Because that's the main source of parnosa. Again, ikar haparnosa. Parnosa can come from several places or based on several things, but ikar haparnosa is based on das. V'chein lehepech, and the opposite holds true also. Chas v'shalom, mi shemizgaper olav chas v'shalom hamasui shelavoim, a person who accumulates a lot of averois, and this burden of sin gets larger and larger. Ve'ein boy das chas v'shalom, and the person does not have das, because the Gemara says the more sins, the less das. Lo olam ein adam choytel kenichnas by ruach shtus. Azai parnasosoi boloi bikvedus godoil ubiyegia gedoil amoid. Then that person's parnasa comes to them with tremendous heaviness and with very, very great struggle. Bibechinas, as the pasuk says, Shotu ha'om veloktu. It says when Moshe Rabbeinu gave them instructions not to go out on Shabbos to collect the mon, Remember that they'll get a double portion of mon on Friday, and on Shabbos they don't have to go out and collect. So it says that some of the people went against him, and they went out anyway on Shabbos to pick mon. I'm sorry. It says over there that the people went out, it's talking about during the week, they went out to pick, not Shabbos specifically. It uses the word shatu, and the Zohar HaKadosh says, v'loktu b'shtusa, shtus, meaning, azai v'tochanu borechayim, it says they would take this mon and grind it up in their millstones, oidochu b'meducha, or crush it in their pestles, you know, as it's, you know, with the pestle in the thing, which implies heavy-duty work. Grinding it in the millstone or crushing it in the pestle is heavy-duty work. The Zohar HaKadosh says, look what the Pasuk says there. Shotu ha'om v'loktu v'tochanu borechayim oidocha b'medocha. When did they have to go through all of this heavy type of labor, the grinding, that grinding labor as we call it? When shotu v'loktu, when there was shtus, when there was lack of das. To the extent that there was lack of das, that's the extent that they had difficulty, major difficulty and hardships. Bechinas kvedus haparnoso lemi sheloi gire sharuach shtus. This refers to the difficulty in parnoso to the one who hasn't chased away his ruach shtus. Kemuva bezoyer HaKadosh, as is brought in Zoyer HaKadosh, shemarames al kvedus haparnoso lemi shein boi das v'kanal. V'zehu bechinas koshen mezoinoisov shalodom kekriyas yamsuf. This is why the Gemara makes a statement that parnosa is as difficult as splitting the sea. Ki kriyas yamsuf merames al yam hachochmo kanal. Splitting the sea represents chochmo, wisdom. There's a term in the Torah, yam hachochmo. Ki ze ikar bechinas kriyas yamsuf. That was the main event that took place when the yamsuf was split. Shenivka v'nizgale yam hachochma. The sea of knowledge was split open and was revealed. That's why the Gemara says, Ro'aso shivcho alayam, ma'shalei ro'a yecheskel ben buzi. That even a maidservant who was present at Kriyas Yamsuf was able to see Hashem more clearly than the prophets. So we see that the yam, the splitting of the physical sea, implied the yam hachochma being split wide open for people to be able to see. Hainu bechinas yam hachochma anal shenizgale kifima shezoichin lotzeis miavoynes kanal. This refers to the yam hachochma, the das, that's revealed relative to the elimination of sins. To the extent that a person gets out of sin, to that extent they get their zoichin to more das. Umishom nimshach haparnoso kanal, and that's where parnoso comes from the das. V'zehu koshin mezoinoisov kekriyas yamsuf. This is why the connection is made between parnoso and kriyas yamsuf. Ki mishom daiko nimshach hamezoinois vaparnoso, because that's exactly where parnoso comes from. Let's say at Kriyas Yamsuf, the Jews became financially wealthy there. In other words, there are many cases where we see that it's mamish lemaisa begashmias, financial wealth. The question is, if that's the case, how is it possible that you have some people who are very, very learned and poor? The answer is there could be additional factors. We said ikra parno, this is the major factor. There could be other factors involved also. Ki ikar hakoishi. Now Rav Nosson Zal says, ki ikar ki mishom daiko nimshach hamezoinois vaparnosa. This is why it says koshe mezoinois v'kriyas yamsuf, because that's where parnosa and mezoinois comes from. It comes from kriyas yamsuf, from this yama chochma, from das. Ki ikar hakoishi shohoye koshe kriyas yamsuf hu machmas avoinois. Because the Gemara makes a statement when it says Koshe mezoinoisov kekriyas yamsuf, that a person's parnosa is as difficult as it was difficult to split the Red Sea. What was difficult about Kriyas Yamsuf? Rav Nosson Zal says, the answer is the sins that the Jews had at that time, that's what made the splitting of the Red Sea so difficult. Bechinas, as the Gemara says, Halalu oivdei avodah zarah, v'halalu oivdei avodah zarah. That the angel of the sea said, why should I let the Jews go through okay and drown the Egyptians? They're idol worshippers and they're idol worshippers. And the Gemara says that it was a very difficult time for Hashem, because the Sar Shel Yam had a legitimate claim. K'moy Shem Razal, as the Gemara says, U'k'moy Kein Koshin HaMezoinois. And similarly too, the same problem related to Parnoso. To the extent that a Jew is successful in getting out of sin, to that extent the Jew is zoiche to sechel, which is synonymous with splitting of the sea, and to that extent he's zoiche to parnoso. Kimishom nimshacha parnoso, because that's where the parnoso comes from. It comes from the sechel. I once heard about 11 years ago a fantastic chiddush. The Gemara says that how did Moshe Rabbeinu become wealthy? From the psoiles of the luchos. When Hashem gave him the tablets were written on the most expensive stone, snapirion, a super, super expensive stone, and they were the chips. Hashem chipped out the letters. Those chips Moshe Rabbeinu got, and from that he became the wealthiest Jew at that time. Mishom nisasher Moshe. So the Ben Ish Chai, I heard this from Reb Michel when he was in America 11 years ago, he told this over. The Ben Ish Chai asks, kind of ridiculous thing, Moshe Rabbeinu's wealth, that's what you call wealth, that's what the Jewish people call wealthy, first of all, diamonds, and that's called wealth? Isn't there a pasuk that says, Im das koniso ma chosarto, Im das chosarto ma koniso? That a person who has das has everything, and a person who doesn't have das has nothing. And we know that Moshe Rabbeinu is das, he's the epitome of das. So what kind of thing is this to say that from the psoiles of the luchos, Moshe Rabbeinu became wealthy? So the Ben Ish Chai writes that if you take the words, if we take a letter in the alphabet, the letter Aleph, there's the main part of the Aleph, and there's the psoiles of the Aleph. Psoilus means that which you throw away, sort of. When I say Aleph, it's as if I'm saying Aleph, Lamed, Pei, correct? And yet when I write it, I only write the Aleph. I don't write the Lamed, Pei. So the milui of a letter is actually is called sometimes the psoilus of that letter. The Ben Ish Chai says if you take the word Luchos, Lamed, Vav, Ches, Vav, Tov, or Lamed Ches Vav Tov, you have to take a look, and you take Lamed, you take the Mem Dalid of Lamed, Vav, you take the, it's pronounced as if it were written two Vavs with a kamatz under the first one, Ches, Ches Yud Tes. If you take the psoilus of the word Luchos, it's exactly Begimatria Das, the word Das. That's what it means when the Gemara says, what made Moshe Rabbeinu rich? The psoilus of the luchos. You know what made him rich? His brains, his state of mind. Wealth isn't measured in bank account. Proof is you got people with big bank accounts that are walking about around in total depression. So could you call them wealthy? They're beggars, they're paupers. Wealth is a frame of